written by Mark Watson. A quiet village nestled in a valley amongst the hills. Carol singers stand at a doorstep in a rainy street of terraced houses. Christmas Eve 1983. A nativity scene stands next to the front door.
Christmas 1983 was much the same as every other year around our way, with the oh-so-sweet voices of the Cadwallader boys and the imminent arrival of my father's family. You could never be sure my uncles would be on time. In fact, they rarely were. Uncle Hugh was usually detained, having had an argument with another driver. And Uncle Gorwell... Well, Uncle Gorwell didn't have a car or a bike. In fact, we were never absolutely confident he'd still have the use of both his legs. They were due at our house by 3:30, but my mother began getting the place ready well before that. And by well before that, I mean September.
Alphabetical order. Cream. Then lilac. Then...
These days, they call this kind of thing obsessive compulsive disorder.
Who's been using the sink?
At that time, it was known as housekeeping.
What's it going to look like if they all turn up and the sink's wet? Do you want people to think our family's washing its hands all the time because we're always holding grubby things? What are we, robbers? Might as well be talking to myself here.
She is talking to herself.
Geraint and Owen high five.
One day it'll be me sitting around with my feet up.
I'm not sitting around, I'm watching a film.
What are you watching?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What's it about?
Aliens come down, cause a bit of bother, go home again.
Are you good?
I didn't think much of it, to be honest. It was unrealistic.
Hallelujah.
The carol singers are still at the front door.
Not the most exciting verse, this one.
It wasn't too bad when there was just the two brothers.
Didn't I tell you we'd all regret the day when Shirley Cadwallader had quads?
Mum had been through 11 Hoovers in the past 5 years. When she went into Rumbelows, she just asked for the usual.
Having just vacuumed under the Christmas tree, a sprinkling of fresh needles fall from it. Brenda watches a carriage clock second hand tick up to 3:30.
Your brothers are late.
They'll be here. Probably the traffic. Gets busy Christmas Eve.
The road's empty.
Carol singers, settle up. We want to get home.
If you were uncles with the three wise men, the baby Jesus would still be waiting for them now.
Geraint opens the front door.
Ah. Merry Christmas, Howell. Boys. How are your parents?
Merry Christmas. It's £5.20, please.
£5? You're joking.
You heard Hark the Herald Angels is £3.80 and Silent Night is £1.40.
I thought the spirit of Christmas was that you give whatever you can.
Yes, we obviously agree with that, but we do have to balance it with turning a profit.
Geraint holds out a fiver.
That's £5.20.
Merry Christmas.
Same to you. We'll be back Christmas Eve next year, around 3:15. Right, boys, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Bloody Tories.
Dad was always annoyed having to pay for things. At church, he only put money in the collection plate if the vicar did a good joke in the sermon.
£5 that cost me.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Still, I suppose it's Christmas, eh? Come here, Brenda.
Oh, Geraint, stop your nonsense. I haven't got time for that. See your brother be here in a minute. Put the kettle on. Right.
Uncle Hugh was Dad's older brother.
Merry Christmas, Geraint.
He ran one of the biggest carpet firms in Wales and was now involved in one of the country's most bitter divorces.
Bren.
One of his favourite phrases was, "All's fair in love and war." Another was, "I hate my wife."
Merry Christmas, one and all. Apart from one. One exception. In a blouse and high heels, eh, boy? Hey, Maurice has been looking forward to seeing Owen all week.
Maurice had hardly ever spoken in the 6 Christmases I could recall. He didn't have to.
Maurice.
Uncle Hugh talked plenty.
So I successfully sued him for £7,500 damages. That's the last time anybody'd steal any milk from my doorstep, eh? Now, on to me. Started with a bang. Got a conservatory bill. £3,500.
What is a conservatory, exactly?
It's like a garden, but indoors. They reckon by 1990 most people will be living in conservatories rather than houses.
Oh, sounds lovely. Carpets are selling well, then, Hugh?
Yes, like hotcakes. Did you hear the ad on the radio? If you want a carpet, buy one from us.
Good, that is. Hey, why haven't you got an ad on the radio, Geraint?
Oh, traffic wardens don't normally advertise on the radio, Brenda.
Yes, we sit in pretty financially, despite his mother's best efforts. She spends like water, don't she, kiddo? I said she pours it all down the drain, don't she? I said your mother's a waste of space, isn't she?
Maurice just nods, staring back solemnly at his portly father.
Geraint, why don't you go down the phone box and call Godwell? He's nearly half an hour late.
What, you haven't got a telephone fitted yet?
No, it's no need. Perfectly good public telephone. It's only minutes away.
Geraint and Owen head down the sloping street together. They trudge up stone steps, then walk along an alley. They round a corner and walk up more steps.
Dad always enjoyed a good walk, even in the coldest weather. Most mornings, we walked 2 miles to school. It was only a mile away, but he went the long way round on purpose.
Eventually, they arrive at a remote red phone box on a wet lane overlooking the village on the opposite hillside. Geraint pulls open the door and they step inside. Geraint positions a 10-pence coin at the entrance to its slot and dials a number from a scrap of paper.
Even putting the number in took quite a while. To dial an international number, you'd have to put most of the day aside.
He pushes the 10-pence into the slot with his thumb.
Hello. Is Godwell there? Righto.
He replaces the handset. Then they step out and head back down the hill along the rainy lane.
All that walking and he wasn't there.
Oh, never mind. Had a nice chat with his flatmate.
Why can't people have their own phones?
Sorry?
Why can't people just have a tiny little phone that you can fit in your pocket and take it everywhere you go?
Oh, kids.
You really should make him put a phone in, Bren.
Oh, you know Geraint. Anything new, he's suspicious. Phones, ovens, inside toilet, outside toilet even.
How do you manage?
The neighbours have got a party line. I go in there and use that sometimes.
Yeah, there's no privacy with party lines, though. You overhear all sorts of gossip.
Oh, we keep ourselves to ourselves round here. We're not gossips. All I know is that Mrs. Evans is having an affair with the man who came round to do the grouting. They talk Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays, and he calls her Sexy Nick.
Yes, well, you should definitely make him put a phone in. You've got to embrace new technology. Do you know what I got this year? A toaster that can do 4 slices at once.
But then Mum moved out, and I lost my appetite.
I can eat 4.
It's dark when Geraint and Owen get home.
Ah, here's Godwell.
Uncle Godwell was Dad's younger brother. He'd had a checkered past. He was now having a checkered present.
Right. Aww.
Here he is. Compliments of the season.
Uncle Godwell was a bit like Father Christmas in that we only saw him once a year.
You?
Godwell?
Who's having a whiskey then?
You are, I should imagine.
But he was unlike Father Christmas in that he drank whiskey for breakfast and had once been detained overnight for streaking at the Royal Welsh Show.
Managed to hitch a lift here in the end. Back in someone's van, eh?
Who was it?
I'm not sure. They didn't know I was there.
So how are you keeping then, Godwell?
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all. No run-ins with the law recently. No more fights with lollipop ladies. It's been a fairly quiet year.
So where are you living?
I got a nice little place down by the coast.
You bought it?
Well, not bought it, more like a rental.
What do you mean, like a rental?
Well, I'm living in someone else's place, but it differs from a rental because the owners don't technically know that I'm there, like...
You're squatting?
If you want to call it that, I...
Still, expect it's a nice house, so is it?
Not a house, exactly.
A flat?
Aquarium.
So, you're squatting in an aquarium?
That's about the size of it, but it's a good aquarium, mind. Got a shark. Anyway, never fear. Gorwell's ship's about to come in. I got a nice little trick up my sleeve.
Geraint and Owen share a smile.
License to print money. 10 to 1 on a white Christmas. 10 quid on. If it snows tomorrow, hello. I'm up 100 quid.
Have you considered this maybe why you're struggling? All these harebrained schemes.
You could start in a car showroom, a harebrained scheme, do you?
Oh, I didn't know you did that.
Mm-hmm. Me and a couple of the boys getting it started, like.
Where the car's going to come from?
That's the only obstacle at the minute. But we're well on the way to getting a room.
You need more of a business plan, Gorwell. Under this government...
Don't mention them in this house.
Under this government, people with business sense are being rewarded. Good business is making money at last.
Oh, yes, that's the Tories. Good business is making money and everyone else can go to hell.
Not for long, mind. Gonna get those flaming Tories out. Just you wait till that election. I'll be down there voting them out. I'll be down there standing up for the working man. We'll show them that Joe Public is not to be trifled with. We'll all stand together.
He stands red-faced with a clenched fist.
But, Godwell, the election's already happened.
Has it?
Yes. It was in June. The Conservatives won by a landslide.
Oh. I was unconscious for a couple of days down there, but it must have passed me by, like.
Right, well, you two better get yourselves up to bed. Make sure you get a good night's sleep. Father Christmas only comes when you're sleeping.
Why?
I didn't make the rules, Owen. I just abide by them. Good night.
Maurice.
Good night, boys.
After we went to bed, Christmas Eve really got going.
Time for a bit of Max, I think.
We'd hear drinking and high spirits, and then the sound of Max's voice. I could never really understand who Max's voice was or why he shouted so much. I assumed he was a PE teacher.
The three brothers sing together while Brenda does the drying up.
I never knew quite what to say to Maurice, and he never knew quite what to say to me, so we would mostly just look at each other. After 4 or 5 hours of this, it started to drag a bit.
Seems pretty quiet up there. Maybe they're getting a good night's sleep.
No! Thick as thieves, those two. If I know Maurice, they'll be up to some mischief, eh?
Maurice looks up at Owen from the camp bed on Owen's floor.
Do you think if you're blind, you still have to have your eyes shut for Father Christmas to come?
Owen thinks. Christmas Day, 1983. As Hugh sleeps on the living room sofa under a blanket, Godwell wakes up in the armchair, half covered by a brown sleeping bag, clutching his betting slip. His eyes widen suddenly as he remembers. He leaps up in nothing but his underpants, dashes to the front door and opens it. His face falls, seeing no sign of snow.
Boom!
Because of Uncle Gorwell's faith that one day we'd have a white Christmas, he gave us sledges every year. I had a cupboard full.
Obviously, it would have been a better present if it had snowed, like.
Thank you anyway, Uncle Gorwell.
feel like I should give you something else, really.
Oh, don't be silly.
Does either of you want my shirt?
God, well, they'll be fine with the sledges.
I got a ball here.
They'll be fine with the sledges, Godwell.
And for the lovely Brenda.
Years ago, Godwell had made cheese on toast for my parents, and to be polite, my mother pretended she loved cheese, even though she hated it. She was still paying for this mistake.
Cheese is of Asia.
Getting closer to the full set.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dad.
Yes, and while we wait 10 years for that to be set up, welcome to the future.
What on earth is that when it's at home?
This is the Sinclair Spectrum ZX. This is the greatest computer of all time.
What do you do with it?
You play games with it, that's what. This is the big thing now. I mean, look at him. He's been wanting one of these all year. He's beside himself. Anyway, I got a load of games to go with it. There's Sublime Soccer. We've got Mind-Blowing Golf Challenge 3, Space Invaders, more Space Invaders. Space Invaders are back. Space Invaders return once more.
Persistent, aren't they, the old Space Invaders?
Planning permission. You get to play a civil servant. You'll have to read applications, process paperwork, and make decisions which will shape the future of your town. Let's get this grunt up, shall we?
Hugh pulls the lead out of the TV.
Hey, I was watching that.
Sorry, what was it?
Brookside on Channel 4.
Oh. I know the most people who watch Channel 4 are Marxist and homosexual.
What's it about this, Brookside?
Well, it's about a group of people living in Liverpool having all these problems.
Yeah, you'll see that any time. Now, let's get the old Spectrum set up, then. Hey, get ready to see the future.
Hugh and the rest of the family sit watching the TV. A message on the black and white screen reads, "Loading, please wait." Hugh looks frustrated, while everyone else looks bored.
But does it always take this long?
No. No, there must be something wrong with the speedier television.
The message on the screen goes.
Oh, yeah, it's doing something now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Right, okay. Right, there's obviously a faulty tape. Let's try ultimate fishing.
Later, all the tapes have been spread over the floor. Hugh jabs a button on the computer constantly. Owen's present, the football game, has been laid out on the carpet.
Right then. While we're waiting, should we crack on with the game? Have we got two players?
Stay where you are, Maurice.
Can we just have a quick game and then we'll go straight back to the computer?
I will sue them for every penny. They will rule the day. God help if they ever come to me for carpet.
Right then, Sibutio. Now, how it's played is this, right? You have your 11 players each.
Oh, Mum.
Got your 5 players each.
Oh, Brenda.
Well, who put those down there? Little men on the floor. What are we, the South Wales Toys and Collectibles Museum? Madhouse.
Owen looks down at the broken players.
I've still got that ball.
Owen and Maurice bounce the small ball to each other in the hallway. Maurice gives a small smile. Then so does Owen. Hugh's still trying to get the computer to work. Brenda polishes a bauble on the Christmas tree while Geraint munches on nibbles while browsing her book about cheeses. Gorwell swigs a whiskey.
Nice to hear him having fun, isn't it? Sometimes it's a simple thing, see?
Hugh sees that his game's loaded.
Oh, my God, the computer's working. Maurice? Maurice? Maurice, come in here and play planning permission!
I think they're happy with the ball, Hugh.
All right, I'll play. I'll play the flipping thing. Press X to be the local council official. Or why to start off as the secretary? X.
He presses X, but nothing happens. Brenda glances over at Geraint, who winces behind the book, while Hugh keeps pressing X in rage. Christmas Eve, 1986.
Christmas, 1986. Quite a lot had changed in our neighbourhood in the past few years. The miners had gone on strike and stopped producing coal. The nation was thrown into chaos. Dad had gone on strike too for a few days to show solidarity. But as he was a traffic warden, people were mostly pretty pleased.
Right. Just turn it by 18 or 19 degrees. No, I said 18 or 19, that's only 30.
Oh, I still don't understand why we waited till Christmas Eve to get the blooming thing in.
Yeah, well, it's not you that has to hoover up its needles for 24 days.
Well, why don't you just wait till after Christmas? No one ever notices them.
Oh, what, do you want people to think we like walking round up to our ankles in forests? What are we, bears? Oh, might as well be talking to myself here.
Right, I put bleach in the toilet, so try and hold it in, please. And no going in the fridge.
What? No peeing in the fridge?
Geraint and Owen high five.
What were you watching?
The snowman.
What happened?
Kid builds a snowman, they fly about, it melts.
Any good?
Didn't think much of it, to be honest. Far-fetched.
Brenda goes to the window.
Here come the Cadwallader boys.
Looks like they've been recruiting.
They upset your nativity, Owen. I'll castrate them.
I'll go out and make sure they only sing the one song this year. We're not made of money.
He writes a cheque.
Plus 45 pence VAT.
VAT?
We're trading as a limited company. These days it's more tax efficient.
I pay enough rates as it is.
Merry Christmas. See you next year. We'll confirm in November. We're widening our catchment area, so it could be any time from the 23rd onwards.
Merry Christmas.
Right, boys. Gregory Street, once in Royal David City. Let's go, let's go!
As always, Uncle Hugh and Maurice had brought the next big thing with them. The year before, they'd given me a truck that turned into a robot. Didn't think much of it.
Careful,
impractical.
Boys. I did try to get hold of you to see if you wanted anything, but obviously you still don't have a telephone.
Well, Geraint still doesn't see the point.
Yeah, phone box up the hill still works perfectly well. Thank you very much.
No, what about that time those lads jammed an opal fruit in the coin slot? Couldn't call anyone for a month.
No one died?
My Auntie Rita did. We missed the funeral.
Oh, all right, one person died.
You surely should get one fitted, Geraint. Go on.
Hugh. You call someone, they charge you for it. You call someone else, they charge you for that. It never ends.
You're behind the times, Geraint. We live in a capitalist society now.
You wait till Kinnock gets in.
Conservatives will be back.
Over my dead body. I don't know one person in this town who votes Tory.
They reckon under the Tories we've all got a lot more income than ever before. We can afford more luxury goods.
Oh, I love a luxury good.
Nonsense luxury goods. Machine that washes dishes, computers, phone line in every house. What is this, Dallas?
I don't care whether it's Labour or the flaming Tories. They're all the bloody same, isn't it, these politicians? Whether it's Thatcher or the Ginge, I'll still be sleeping in a beach hut, living off Cocoa Pops. No one cares for the working man.
Yes, but you're not a working man the way you got, well, you haven't got a job.
No way, I suppose not. No. Who's having a whiskey, then?
You are, I imagine. Anyway, another good year. The highlight, of course, was thoroughly shafting his mother in the courtrooms. Normally, it's the mum that gets the upper hand in court, but not this time. Bang! I get custody. Bang! She gets rented accommodation, eh, kiddo? Eh? She hasn't got her own bathroom anymore, has she, eh? Eh?
A bit quiet there, Maurice. All right, son.
Of course he's all right. He's doing excellently at school.
So's Owen.
Well, he's captain of the Mikado team.
Owen got to the quarterfinals of Plasticine 86, didn't you, pal?
Maurice's teacher says that he's not showing any ill effects at all from being in a one-parent family. Didn't you, Maurice? Maurice!
He strides out.
Maurice was as quiet as usual, but he'd started to seem a bit more threatening. I decided it might be an idea to stay on his good side.
Go through one of those faces, you know, it's what they like. First of all, they idolise you, then they react against you.
When exactly did he idolise you, Hugh?
Until he started listening to that homosexual music.
He loves his art and his woodwork, that boy. That nativity scene's his pride and joy. He's obsessed with it, isn't he?
Yes.
Why'd you make that? Come here to play in rugby. Still believe in Father Christmas?
Dunno. Do you?
I don't know.
My father said he doesn't come around our house. He said, I'm not letting some git with a white beard get all the credit. I saw a lot of rugs get that train set.
Trouble with art, though, is there money in it?
Oh, there's money in it if you steal it. Me and some of the boys looked into nicking the Mona Lisa down Paris, like swines have got it behind the screen now. Spoiled sports!
Anyway, I bet you're wondering what's in that box. Well, this year I decided to get you a little Christmas Eve present.
A large white tree.
This is an artificial tree. Well, what's the point of that?
No more pine needles on the floor, Ben, messing up the carpets.
Oh, do you know, I've been on it, Geraint, to do something about the pine needle problem for years.
Well, eventually they reckon these will replace real trees in forests.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, and no smell. Beautiful.
Brenda and Geraint haul their real tree through a doorway.
Right, just turn it 30 to 35 degrees anti-clockwise. Not anti-clockwise.
I don't understand why we can't just have both trees.
What do you want people to think? That we're so greedy we have two trees? What are we, an arboretum?
That night, the artificial tree has been decorated.
It's going to be my year, this, I can feel it. 100 quid on a white Christmas. One flake of snow falls tomorrow. Hello. It's a grand,
Where do you get £100?
I got one of those business loans off the social. Told him I wanted 100 quid to start a DIY company.
So, you defrauded the social services?
That was half true, I did want 100 quid. Anyway. Snow comes down overnight. I've got the equipment to deal with it.
A pair of buckets.
Who's having a whiskey?
You are, I imagine.
What's castrate mean?
Sorry, Owen?
You said you castrate whoever knocked over my nativity. What's castrate mean?
Like a haircut.
Yeah, do all of your hair. That's one.
Except for your knackers.
Owen thinks. That night, the three brothers listen to their record.
Not hear the people of them all night. I bet they're up there plotting something now, eh?
In Owen's room, Maurice lies awake in the camp bed, listening to headphones.
Hang the DJ. Hang the DJ. Hang the DJ.
He stops the personal stereo and takes out the tape.
Stupid Christmas. We're all just going to die in the end anyway.
Maurice had started talking quite a bit about death. On the whole, I think I preferred it when he didn't say anything.
Christmas Day 1986. As Hugh lies sleeping on the sofa, under the same blanket as before, Gorwell wakes in the armchair under the brown sleeping bag. He sees the betting slip in his hand and races to the door, wild-eyed, in just his pants. He opens the door and looks out, but sees that it's pouring with rain.
Bum.
Later, Hugh and Gorwell pull a cracker across the dinner table.
I
Can I just say, she just said it was three times in 4 years.
Oh, come on,
Ken. She said it. All right, but let's go for it then. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, yes! That's four times in 5 years, I said. All right, here we are.
You've got to make a few quid out of that stuff. Never mind. Roll on next year, I love you.
Well, now, who wants some more potatoes?
Oh, no thanks.
I've got 67 left.
Oh, Brenda, please.
I'll take a doggy bag off you if that's all right, Bren. Last time it saw me through to February.
I think we'll keep the Christmas pudding till after the Queen's speech, shall we?
Good idea.
Have you got a colour TV yet?
No. Geraint still isn't convinced.
Ours has got 2 million colours.
Which ones?
Red, yellow, all the greats.
Two's enough for me.
Yeah, it brings things to life, though, you know. Do you know that Lenny Henry's a black fella?
I tell you what programme I like, The EastEnders.
What's that about?
It's about a group of people living in London having all these problems.
Oh, I'll look out for that.
Yeah. You haven't got a television, though, have you?
I got a little trick up my sleeve, Hugh. What I do, I go down the TV shop and I watch it through the window. You get to see it 20 times that way.
But you can't hear what they say.
Oh, you get the gist of it. I saw most of the World Cup like that. And last night at the proms.
Can't you watch last night at the proms without hearing the sound?
Actually, I never enjoyed it so much.
He winks to Maurice.
Right, listen up. This is simple. If you get more than half the balls, you've won. Now,
our side of the family is all about winning. This year, I carpeted Shirley Bassey's bathroom, whilst your mother's now a dinner lady. We're winners.
Okay, boys. Right. What? Fingers on nipples.
Ready? Go!
Keep it, I don't know if it was enough, but let's just hope it was enough. It was all right. It was good. You did
well. One nipple has 10 balls. Oh. Maurice is a ball. That's 9 balls. Well done, Owen.
Well, it's not about winning, is it?
There's meant to be 20 balls there. That's...
Cracking game, that lad's right. Who wants to play Find My Socks?
Sorry, there's meant to be 20 balls. There's obviously one ball missing.
Now, who wants a bit of Christmas pudding?
No, just never mind who wants a bit of Christmas pudding. Where's the 20th ball? It invalidates the result of the game.
Never mind.
Where's the other ball?
Hell, leave it.
There's meant to be 20 balls. If there's only 19, it turns Angry Hippos into a complete farce.
We can just call it a draw.
Oh, well, we could, because we... A safe little draw, is that what you want? Is it a nice, safe little draw? And then we put our petticoats on and go over there and sing.
I'll give him petticoats.
No, sorry, but what we're going to do is we're going to have a rematch.
I don't think we should.
Oh, no, I bet you don't. No, because, I mean, you'd rather just say it was a safe draw and go over there and play with My Little Ponies or something.
Actually, Hugh... Owen One is offering you a draw out of charity.
Charity, eh, pal? Well, I tell you what. At least I can get my clothes from a charity shop, eh?
Oh, do something, Geraint.
Oh, I think it's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
I might not have a lot of money, right? But what I do have, I didn't get by screwing up my marriage and then screwing over my wife in court. No offence, Maurice.
At least I earn my money by providing carpets rather than getting sacked from a meat processing plant for stealing sheep and selling them second-hand.
What? I stole one sheep.
At least I've got a nice big house, big enough for a television and a toilet.
At least I learned how to use a toilet, Hugh, rather than wetting the bed until I was 15.
13! I was 13!
Oh, yes, this is just a bit of fun.
Right! You and I are going to settle this! Once and for all, Godwell!
Shut!
Godwell, take a hippo.
Uncle who? I don't think this could...
Shut it. I said, take a hippo.
Both men sit down opposite each other at the table, with the game between them.
We go on a streak.
They loosen up their finger muscles.
One, two.
The pudding! Oh!
That fire, the
Fire! Wrap yourselves in a carpet. I set a mate of mine on fire once and they wrapped him in a carpet.
We're not on fire.
We will be in a minute.
Everyone stand back.
Geraint throws a glass of water over the fire.
A glass of water's no good, Geraint. Geraint, stay where you are. Geraint, you
just left the way. Let me call my knife. I need a 10p for the bowl. Oh, my God, the bloody trees
are coming. Change your pounds.
I just need the change.
Oh, my God, for goodness sake.
As the tree blazes, Brenda comes back with the two buckets of water. She throws the first one on the blazing tree, then the second, putting out the fire. Maurice watches with an amused smile.
Oh my God, Brenda saved our life.
Goruel rushes in, spraying a fire extinguisher everywhere, finally knocking the tree over and filling the room with mist.
The fire was already out, Gorbal.
Better safe than sorry, Bren.
Geraint tries to calm her.
Not now, Geraint.
Trivial Pursuit?
Easy, careful you don't knock it. Okay. Just 6 degrees more. 6, mind, don't go mad.
Oh.
Brenda and Geraint are moving another tree through the doorway. Christmas Eve, 1989.
Christmas 1989. The 80s were coming to an end. A terrible recession was just around the corner. It was a time of revolution. The Berlin Wall had just come down. It inspired many people to dream of change. It inspired Dad to take down the fence in the garden. We'd got a video player and even a telephone.
At the third stroke, it will be 3:13 precisely.
But we were only allowed to use it for emergencies. And we had to make sure all emergencies happened after 6 p.m.
Who's been using this phone? Essential calls only, please. Oh, might as well be talking to myself here.
In the bathroom, Brenda stacks numerous loo rolls in a huge pyramid. She uses a spirit level to make sure they're straight.
Mum was still cleaning like a maniac, or as she called it, maintaining standards. It's funny what you think is normal when you're young. It wasn't until my first week at university that I realised I was the only person who brought his own tea towels.
She cleans a bar of pink soap, arranges folded towels neatly on a shelf, then sighs contentedly. Geraint and an older-looking, taller Owen are watching TV. As she bustles about, Brenda picks up something from a corner on the floor. It's a small plastic ball. She looks at the other two, realising where it's come from, then opens the cupboard and pops the ball back into the Hippo Games box.
What are you watching?
Ben-Hur.
What happened?
Ben-Hur was a Jewish prince who was sold into slavery. He endured many hardships and great suffering before returning to take revenge in one of the most expensive closing scenes ever made. All in Technicolor.
Any good?
Didn't think much of it, to be honest.
No, we didn't think much of it.
Long.
One day it'll be me sitting around with my feet up watching people being sold into slavery. Well, I never. The cheek of it. You and brothers are 5 minutes early. What do you think we are, a drive-in cinema? Come on, you two, chop chop, look lively.
What was really moving about spending time with Tom Jones, man who's had the hits he's had and the underwear he's had thrown at him, is that underneath it all, he's just a man. A man with a pair of trousers on. Like you or me.
Does something smell funny in here?
At one point, we were on his veranda, and he turned to me, Tom Jones, you know what he said? Pass us those biscuits. That's right. These biscuits. Just like you or I eat biscuits.
Can someone smell something sort of...
And that's what you notice about really great men. Humility. At one point, we were in his swimming pool. I was on his lilo, shaped like a crocodile, just like a normal person's lilo. He turned to me, Tom Jones.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Hugh, but I think something smells funny under this tree. Oh.
That's my gift to you, that is, Bren.
Oh.
It might be edible.
I look forward to tomorrow.
It might be the biggest stilton in Wales, Rick.
Gosh.
Anyway, I suppose the point I'm trying to make about Tom Jones, if I'm trying to make a point at all, is that, above all...
Hey, what a competition back in the 70s, Bren, to spend a day with Jimmy Savile.
He hardly compares to Tom Jones, does he?
No.
Good, right. Well, the thing
is... He was running a marathon the week after, so he didn't get up to much. But a circuit training, press-ups.
So I don't think that was worth interrupting me for, do you?
Oh, gosh, Maurice, you are getting tall.
Yes, he's had a terrific year of growing. Very impressive year.
Obviously eating all his greens.
No, not just greens, all sorts. I've had a lady in to cook.
Housekeeper.
Girlfriend. Maurice, put the tape on.
He's put on weight.
Come on, you big lump.
Where did you meet her?
Put one or two... You know, one or two personal ads in the...
You're advertising in the Lonely Hearts, have you, Hugh?
They're called personal ads these days, Garwell.
Oh, are they?
What did you put about yourself, Hugh?
Very rich, highly sexual man, as heard on radio advert. Has a large workforce, highs and fires, a drop of a hat. Knows Tom Jones and has been on Jones's lilo. Would like to meet a woman with a high sense of hygiene.
Sure.
Start.
I'll tell you later.
They clap along to the video.
Oi, oi, oi! Oi, oi, oi! Oi, oi, oi! Maurice!
Maurice leaves the room, looking surly.
Go through one of those phases, you know? Listen to all this American music and having thoughts.
Later, Brenda finds Gorwell in the bathroom, having knocked over the loo rolls.
Didn't work out too well. Sorry.
He abandons trying to rebuild the pyramid stack, handing her a loo roll, and walks out, leaving her looking troubled. In the kitchen, Brenda measures chopped carrots with a tape measure.
Looking back, I wonder if I'm exaggerating some of the things Mum did around the house. Either that, or by this time she was starting to get a bit... well, odd.
She chops off a bit from one piece of carrot to get it to the desired length. She picks up a stopwatch and counts down the last final seconds before opening the oven. Brenda takes out a huge roast turkey, sizzling and golden brown, and places it in its baking tray on the kitchen counter.
Number 30, the freezers.
OK, we wish you a Merry Christmas, OK? Remember to smile. One, two, three, four.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, blimey, they're here. Where's the checkbook?
I tidied it.
Where is the blasted thing?
I tidied it away.
You know, I'm sure things in this house just sprout legs and walk away.
Might as well be talking to myself here. And I wish you'd stop wishing us a Merry Christmas. Oh.
Got it. It's a flaming racket.
They come every year. You're normally too late to see them.
Get rid of them, will you? We're missing Max, yeah?
You can't pause it.
Where's the tape out?
Or just stop it and start again.
Where's the tape out?
Well, can we just watch it another...
For God's sake, man, think of the tape.
Geraint gets up and goes to the door. He opens it to the carol singers, all now dressed in burgundy suits.
Very nice. Merry Christmas.
Now we're going to do some new stuff. This is Mull of Kintyre.
Whoa. That's not a Christmas song.
Oh, we found the whole Christmas thing a bit limiting. We see ourselves more as a group who outgrew the Christmas market. This is our debut compact disc. It's not out till next year, but if you buy it off us now, it's 50 pence cheaper.
We're trying to watch a video in there. Can I just...
All right, well, if you're not interested in the new stuff, we leave you with one of our classics, The Holly and the Ivy.
No, whoa, stop.
The Holly and the Ivy, when they are both full grown.
Gorowell bangs on the window.
What's he doing out there? We're missing Max, yeah?
He staggers drunkenly.
I'll shut him up myself in a minute.
Yeah, you're all talk, you're all...
What's that, you?
You're all talk, you're not going to do anything. Stick.
You. The traditional conversation, mate. Orwell never achieves anything. Orwell had to sell some of his clothes this year.
Leave him alone, never mind.
No, you're right. I am all talk. I'm just an idiot. Spends all his money buying novelty cheeses for his sister and all, like. I never do anything useful. I never do anything. Anything except this.
Got well.
He lurches outside, blowing on a whistle.
That's enough, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, what are you doing?
Someone's got to stop him. Why can't it be Gorwell?
Where'd you get that whistle from?
I carry it for situations like this.
Do you realise that disturbing the peace is a crime?
Do you realise that singing badly is a crime too?
Do you know who you're talking to?
Yes, I'm talking to you. And quite frankly, I've had just about enough for your racket. I'm trying to watch Max Boyce!
Who the hell wants to watch Max Boyce?
I'll give you one chance to take that back, boy.
Is he even still alive?
You don't say that about Max. You don't do that.
Gorowell punches the man, and carol singers go for him, knocking Owen's nativity scene over in the process. Some of the carol singers desperately try to hold their leader back from attacking Gorowell. Brenda watches with a frown through the living room window.
Oh, my giddy aunt.
Oh, can I go out?
No. But watch Max Boyce, please.
I don't understand the jokes.
I have never understood the jokes, but you don't hear me complaining to you.
It's all about the old days.
The 1970s is not the old days, is it, Hugh?
No.
Later, Geraint dabs Gorowell's cut nose with cotton wool.
Well, it's gone soft. It's gone soft, I tell you. You can't punch anyone. You can't kick a man's tambourine.
How much did you have to pay?
Because it was Christmas, they let me off with 50 quid bail, like. Plus another 50 for 4 taxis to the hospital. And 20 quid to the tambourine bloke. For his tambourine.
And where are you going to find that sort of money?
I got a little trick up my sleeve. A little trick called not paying it.
They'll catch up with you.
I'll be all right. The boys down the aquarium will add me back, I'm sure of it.
I can lend you the money, Gorowell.
I can't take your money, Hugh.
Oh. Okay.
Thinking about it, I might be able to take it.
Right, well, offers that.
The more I consider it, the more I feel I could definitely take the money.
Good.
Gorowell stands up, then faces Hugh with a sheepish expression. Gorowell holds out his hand, and the brothers step towards each other. Owen watches them shake hands.
Right. Who's having a whiskey?
I don't think you should have any more, Gorowell.
I don't think so either. But here we go.
I couldn't work out how Maurice had got so big that he hardly fitted in the room, or how his hair had got like that. I wondered if a similar thing might happen to me. Still, we got along as well as usual.
Christmas Day 1989. Hugh and Gorwell are sleeping in the living room in their usual places. Gorwell wakes first as ever and looks excitedly at the betting slip he clutches in his hand. He leaps out of the armchair and dashes to the front door in his underpants. He looks out briefly and is just going back in when he realises that it's snowing.
Snow! Snow!
Hearing him, Maurice and Owen wake suddenly.
Snow!
Gorwell recess! Gorwell recess! Gorwell recess won a grand! Gorwell
recess
won a grand! I won a grand!
Get down! I won a grand!
Right, when we're finishing with the presents, let's get sledging, like.
But the snow has melted.
Oh, don't worry about that, Bryn. We'll grease them up, right, and off we go.
I really don't think this is a good idea.
Trust me, Bryn. I waited 15 years for it to snow like every dog has its day.
You're not an animal, Gorwell.
I'm the closest thing we've got.
Oh.
Come on, boys.
Geraint, we can't go tobogganing. Talk some sense into him, will you? Geraint!
Gorwell?
This is a stupid idea. I really don't think...
Oh, you worry too much, Bryn.
Is really your problem is you don't worry enough, Gorwell.
I can't be doing that pessimism stuff. Who was it that said I'd never climb Mount Everest or take over blankety-blank?
But you haven't.
Yet.
Oh.
Come on then, boys. Let's have it.
Now, the key to winning a sledge race is all about coming down that hill as fast as you can. You are going to go down the hill. Down the hill. What you mustn't do at any point is think about going up the hill.
I'm not getting on a flimming sledge.
Ridiculous, boy. How else are you going to win a sledge race?
You can't tell me what to do.
Are you disobeying me, boy?
I'm not a boy. I'm 16 in 2 weeks.
I will decide when you're 16. Thank you very much. Right now, you're going to listen to me. Now, everybody here, everybody, is waiting for you to get on that sledge. Do you want to be remembered as the one who spoilt everybody's fun today?
No one else thinks we should sledge. Everyone except you and Gorwell wants to go home.
Well, so, you know that, you? You know what everybody wants now, then, do you?
Why don't you ask him? Go on, let's have a vote. Who thinks that we should sledge down this hill?
Well, I don't think much of the idea, to be honest. It's treacherous, but, well, if Owen wants to.
I'm just worried that someone's going to get hurt. But if Owen's got his heart set on it, then...
I don't really fancy it. There you go. You see, no one but you and Gorwell thinks that we should do it. And Gorwell's not right in the head.
How dare you say that about your Uncle Gorwell?
You said it yourself. You said if there was any sense, they'd lock him up in the aquarium and throw away the key.
He's distorting, right? And I tell you another thing, my boy.
I'm not your boy.
Yes, you flame well are. Those tests were inconclusive.
I'm not anyone's boy. I don't need you. All you've ever done for me is boss me around, talk down to me. Shut up, Maurice. Go over there, Maurice. Maurice, this is my new girlfriend. She's a dog walker, but also does erotic dancing.
Nothing wrong with having a dual income.
Well, not this time. This time, you're gonna do what I want. And we're not sledging down that hill. No one is sledging down that hill.
Watch out, Brent!
Later, Brenda's sitting on the living room sofa with one bandaged foot propped up, a bandaged arm, and a bruised face.
I told you one day it'd be me sitting around with my feet up.
You know, what you did was very impressive. Anybody can look at their father and say hero, but you realize I'm just a man. Like Tom Jones. And like Tom, I make mistakes. In the new year, I thought perhaps we could spend some more father and son time together. Quality time. Do you want to go to Alton Towers? Yeah? Yeah, good lad, yeah. I know a couple of people there. Like Tom Jones, I'll get it shut down for the day so we can have it ourselves.
Hugh, come back!
Better go and help finish off.
Maurice is happy.
What are you watching?
It's a Wonderful Life.
What happened?
This chap was depressed, and then it turns out that life is wonderful.
Any good?
I quite like it.
Brenda leans over and kisses Geraint.
Everybody, please take your places at the table. The dinner is prepared.
Come on, Brent.
Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the delay. The Rees brothers proudly present the turkey.
Sandwiches.
Oh! Do you know, I love a turkey sandwich.
Oh, hang on a minute, Ben. I made you a special sandwich, like.
Oh.
There we are. Thank you.
There we are.
Steak.
Brenda looks down at the sandwiches.
God, well, I don't actually like cheese.
What? Gone off it, have you?
I've never liked it. I just didn't know how to tell you.
Well, in that case, Bren, I apologise for having got you over 10 years' worth of cheese and cheese-related paraphernalia.
It's the thought that counts.
Well, I must admit I am a little relieved. Like, I was having a hell of a time tracking down cheeses of Antarctica.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. So although every Christmas was the same, in a way, this one was a bit different. Hugh had learned to value his son. My parents, to value each other. Godwell had learned not to go hurtling towards innocent people on a toboggan, a lesson he sadly forgot only days later. And me? Not sure what I learned, really. But for what it's worth, I've passed it on. Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your king. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy... Won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some out here. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy...